Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, and the first guest every single week is, I'm so glad that it's first this week in particular, because we got a lot of questions about the 2017 A's, and who better to answer them than Vince Cotroneo. He's one of the voices of A's baseball here at 95.7 The Game. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vince Baseball. Great broadcaster, great all-around guy. Thank you for your time again, Vince. How you doing? Happy opening day.
Thank you, Michael. If you just indulge me one thing, last year you and I got involved in Bitmoji.
Yes, we did.
Wars, and you started it. You got me involved, and I'm happy to announce, as of yesterday, my wife has a Bitmoji.
Very nice.
It has expanded in the Cotroneo household, and it's all thanks to you.
So, who got it started in the household? Was it Dom?
No, I think it was me. Well, the kids may have had them before, but never shared them with me. And then,
that's right. You dropped a Bitmoji on Dom, and he was like freaked out. Why is my dad Bitmojiing?
Exactly. Fortunately, he's still my son. But
all right,
it's all good. It's all good. It's the Bitmoji family is expanding.
All right, so Vince, Kendall Graveman is starting the lid lifter tomorrow for the Athletics against the Angels. If the A's are leading come the ninth inning, you know this is going to be the first question. Who's running out there for the ninth?
It's a good question, and here's the way I look at it, because I've asked this question to Bob Melvin. Okay, you've got a 3-1 lead. It's the ninth inning. Who's pitching? And his first question is, who's coming up? So that's certainly
matchups.
I mean, that it certainly does play into it, and it also depends on how difficult the eighth inning is. My guess is, if you're asking about tomorrow, I would say that Doolittle will pitch the eighth and Casilla will pitch the ninth inning. That's the way I see it.
Really? Not Madsen. Yeah. See, my call, I think Madsen is going to get the first opportunity to basically put a stranglehold on this job. I don't see why he wouldn't, but my prediction for the season is that Casilla is going to end up the closer.
Well, last year, the ninth inning belonged to Sean Doolittle on opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he struggled a bit and then got hurt, and then it morphed into Madsen, like you said. It's not a bad call, Michael, with 30 saves. And if you want to fall into the camp of, well, this guy was my guy last year, why should I replace him? You have to knock out the champ, so to speak. I do know this, that Ryan Madsen's ego is zero. And I think the whole bullpen, for the most part, is zero. They do get it. They do work well together. I think that is an advantage for Bob Melvin in this day and age of you've got to anoint certain guys, certain roles. And I think with what happened in the postseason last year, you are reminded that there are important outs before the ninth inning. So everybody will have some kind of presence, some kind of involvement, and we'll see how it plays out. But you asked me the question, and that was my answer.
All right.
Speaking of Casilla, I mean, this guy was a fixture the last couple of years in the Giants bullpen. We saw the meltdown that the Giants had as a team against the Cubs, and he didn't even get the ball. He was emotional at his locker. And I'm just wondering, what have you seen from him this spring, and how confident are you in him that he can get back to being at the top of his game?
Well, Guru, the bullpen is at times a roller coaster ride with one season to the next. The guy that can be lights out one year is going to potentially struggle the next, which is why you see a lot of moving pieces around baseball with that particular role. I mean, Mark Melancon was a guy that couldn't get anybody out of the American League, so he became a National League All-Star and a multi-millionaire courtesy of the Giants because of what he did when he got back to the National League. So I think anything is possible. I do see a smile on Willie's face. I see confidence. He knows he's been there before. He certainly pitched in a ton of big games. I'm not that concerned about, where is his psyche from last year, because that's last year. That's a different time. I think when he signed with the Athletics, the A's thought that was a huge move for them to really add another layer to what they thought was a deep bullpen, and a guy that has closing experience in a pennant race. I don't think that's something that can be ignored. So I think from Santiago Casilla's point of view, his arm's fine. He's healthy. A little bit of a leg issue in a cold weather a couple nights ago, non-factor really. I'd throw out all spring training numbers. I go back to, you know, to the back of the bubblegum card. And I think he's going to be fine, and I think he's going to be energized getting this opportunity and really a chip on his shoulder to prove that he should have maybe been given the ball in that game four last year. And who knows if that would have changed the entire outlook of the postseason 2016.
The voice you hear is that of Vince Catronio, one of the voices of A's baseball here at 95.7 The Game. You can follow him on Twitter at Vince Baseball. Vince, the A's projected opening night roster was published in this morning's San Francisco Chronicle. The two people that I am most excited about watching in green and gold are not on this list. That would be Franklin Barreto and Matt Chapman. Give me a couple guys that are on this list, not big names, not somebody that, say, an average baseball fan in the Midwest would have ever heard of, that are kind of your sleepers pick to open some eyes and become fan favorites before it's all over.
On the current 25-man roster?
Yes.
I would say Frankie Montas is probably at the top of that list.
Why? Expand on that.
Because, you know, he's never been fully healthy, at least not recently. He's got a tremendous arm. He has a very engaging personality. You know, speaks very good English. Always a big smiling guy with a big fastball. He has more than that. He has a breaking ball and a changeup as well. How he gets used and what kind of a bridge he can build to potentially, you know, plus situations, as Bob Melvin puts it, winning situations, I think that'll go a long way. And one guy that is not a surprise in the Bay Area, but I think will become a surprise from coast to coast, is the opening night starter. I am all in on Kendall Graveman.
Wow.
Last year, without Sonny Gray, without that net, he stepped up. He learned a lot about himself. He became more aggressive. You know, stuff really plays at the big league level. He doesn't necessarily have that strikeout pitch, but he has the ability to get early contact. I really am a guy that's flying the Kendall Graveman flag in 2017. I see a kid that has matured. All the conversation about what did the A's get back for Josh Donaldson certainly has not been completely answered, and the guy won an MVP, and they've gone to the ALCS 2 years in a row with JD over there. So that said, I'm a believer that Kendall Graveman gets to the 200-inning plateau. I think he can be a 15-game winner for a team that they struggle to get to 500, and I think he's going to be the A's all-star. That's the way I see it today.
Vince, I caught a lot of Matt Joyce with the Pirates last year, and I know this. I know he's not a superstar, but the guy is a competent, everyday Major League Baseball player. Do you think he can surprise A's fans?
It's a good question, Guro. 2 years ago, he was let go by the Angels. I mean, he just had a missing in action kind of a year, and he was already established on the Major League level with all the years with the Tampa Bay Rays. To his credit, you know, he went to the Pirates and just obliterated, you know, right-handed pitching, that tremendous on-base percentage over 400 in a part-time role. Remember that, in a part-time role. Very rarely did he face left-handers last year. And one of the questions I have for the A's this year, if it's the seventh inning and they are up by a run or down by a run and a left-hander's coming in to face Matt Joyce, for two reasons. Are you looking to, if you have the lead, are you looking to defend for Matt Joyce? I don't think you can, because you'll have a three-man bench, really just a two-man bench because of a backup catcher. And the other part of it is, how confident are you giving him opportunities to face left-handed pitching, and can he deliver for you in an area that he really was not asked to deliver with the Pirates as he rebuilt his career? So I think that's my question in regard to Matt Joyce. I'm not so sure he's an everyday 500 at bat kind of a guy, but I think he's a 350 to 400 at bat player that can give you veteran leadership, can give you production. But to think that it can expand to more than what we've seen, I think is asking an awful lot.
Hey Vince, we've run out of time, but because it's opening day, I'm asking almost everybody that comes through our path today. Do you have any one specific opening day that stands out above all else, and why?
Well, I mean, like anything else, Michael, when you have your first at anything, it's something that is unforgettable. And for me, it was 1991 with the Astros against the Cincinnati Reds. Back when Cincinnati opened the Major League season, it was after the 90 campaign, which I know has a bad taste here in the Bay Area because they just swept the A's in the World Series. They gave out the World Series rings before the game. Marge Schott was on the field. She didn't know anybody's name. Here's my boy coming over here. Here's another one of my boys. I think she knew Barry Larkin's name, and that was about it.
Right.
But before that game, I'm doing pregame for the Astros. And my task is to grab Lou Piniella on opening day. And as you know, opening day, every Tom, Dick, and Cameron comes out his opening day. So trying to grab somebody like the opposing manager after winning the World Series is a bit of a challenge. Marty Brenneman, Hall of Fame announcer, was getting ready to do the pregame show with Lou. He saw that I wanted to do that, and he said, kid, come with me. You sit next to me and Lou. When Lou's done with me, you're next. And I've never forgotten that, and Marty's become a dear friend and a mentor, and it was a great, great opening day. You know, they lost that game, but Bagwell played in that game, became a Hall of Famer. Biggio began to establish himself a Hall of Famer. Luis Gonzalez, World Series hero, really making his debut in the big leagues. It was an exciting time for me. Very thankful.
And it's just a matter of time before Vince Catronio is in the Hall of Fame too, right?
I've been there on several occasions, and that's as close as it's going to get, Michael.
Oh, come on. Ford C. Frick, you're there in like 25 years. Maybe posthumously, but you'll get in there somehow. Hey, Vince, thank you so much for your time, man. Happy opening day. I'll be listening to you tomorrow. I'm sure I'll hear the enthusiasm and the smile in your voice, as I always do. That's one of the great things I love about your work. Thanks again for your time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Look forward to seeing you out there.
All right, that's Vince Catronio. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vince.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.